Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank the Lord always for his mercies and for his grace. We thank him for wherein we had brothers thus far. He's been patient with us in all of our excesses, in all of the things that we do, in all of our ups and downs. He's been very patient with us. And he keep molding us, forming us, sometimes clothing us, sometimes breaking us, until we'll conform to the image of his dear son. And for that we are grateful. We are called foolish of the world, but we know that the Lord called us wise, the wise ones. And so we thank the name of the Lord for that, and for also having the ability and the chance to speak to you all today at this point in time. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Yesterday, we briefly spoke about a topic called Jesus Wept. And we addressed the first part of the topic, which is the blind. So he wept for the blind. And today, we would go on to talk about one's blind, now a witness. One's blind, now a witness. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. We thank you, Lord, for this time, for this opportunity, for this moment. You are so good to us, O Father. We do not want to be ungrateful to you. We thank you, Father, for all the things that you have done, for all the things that you have done for us, Lord. We are grateful to you. Thank you for we were once blind, but you gave us your spirit. And you anointed our eyes with clay. And you asked us to go and be baptized, calling on the name of the Lord. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, because that blindness was removed. And we had sight. And for that, we are grateful, O Lord. Blessed be your name, Father. As we speak tonight, may you be with us. May you speak life unto us, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Amen. Okay, so let's look into the book of, we'll first go into the book of Acts, chapter 22. Chapter 22. And we'll read from verse 6, I would say, yes. And it came to pass that as I made my journeying, I was come nigh unto Damascus about noon. Suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. And I fell unto the ground and heard the voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light, and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, Arise and go unto Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. And when I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwell there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked up upon him, and he said, The God of our fathers have chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. And thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sin, calling on the name of the Lord. Once we were blind, but now a witness. The Lord would exactly replicate what happened and would show unto Paul. Even though Paul saw himself as a devout Pharisee, quite fervent in that which he was doing. We were religious. Many of us were so-called Christian. We're religious in all of our ways. We're doing all sorts of things, being fervent in the spirit, so to say, until the Lord had to show us that we were blind. We were born blind. This was Paul, a very religious man. In fact, he saw to the fact that Stephen was stoned to death, all in the name of the Lord, all in the name of Yeshua, or I would say all in the name of Yahweh. He was very fervent, but yet he was blind. And Jesus had to show to him that he was blind by shining the light all around him. And when he perceived the light, he realized, oh, behold, I cannot see. Truly, I am blind. Truly, there must be something wrong with me. I thought I could see, but I cannot see. And what was the first thing that happened to him? The first thing that happened to him was that he was led. We were blind, but someone led us to Christ. Someone led us to the cross. Someone led us to the feet of the Lord. That might be an evangelist somewhere. That might be a brother somewhere. That might be a sister. That might be a tract. That might be anything that led us to the point where we now received our sight. And it says that in 13, that Ananias, a man devout of the Lord, who was called of the Lord, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. Have this high salve. Have this anointing of a clay upon your eyes. And the same hour I looked upon him, I now could behold Ananias. I now could see him. But he didn't stop there. He didn't stop there. He said, why tarriest thou? 16. Go and be baptized and wash away your sin, calling on the name of the Lord. And no, he didn't stop there either. He said that, for thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. I was blind, but now I am a witness. Amen. I was blind, but now I'm a witness. Let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. It says, but ye shall receive power. You would receive your sight. You will receive the ability to see. You would receive clarity. You will receive power after that the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit is come upon you. And then you will not stop there. You will be a witness unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. The reason why Jesus had opened our eyes is so that we can be witnesses. You looked at the life of Paul. We've read from the life of Paul there in the book of Acts. He was blind, and the Lord opened his eyes simply for him to be a witness. Look at the instruction of Jesus here. He was telling his disciples, you will be witnesses unto me. You will receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, but you will use that Holy Ghost and that power to be a witness unto me. Now, let's go to the book of John, chapter 4. I'll read through verses 19 real quick. And the woman said unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. I cannot see, but I can feel that you are a prophet. Our fathers worship in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. I think you are a prophet, but I remember I was told that as long as I'm doing this thing, I'm a Christian. I was told that as long as I come to church, I'm a Christian. I was told that as long as I give my tithe, I'm a Christian. I was told that as long as I give alms, I'm a Christian. I was told, and as long as I wear the best clothes and I come to church on Sunday, I am a Christian. That is what my fathers told me. That was what my ancestors told me. And Jesus answered him and said, "Woman, believe me, the hour comes when you will not in this mountain, not in this church, not because of your tithe, not because you come to church, not because you are the best well-dressed in the church, not because you come to church every Sunday, not because you are well-behaved, not because you do not steal, not because you do not commit adultery, not because you do not do all of this thing. It will not be because you come to this mountain or yet at Jerusalem. No, not because you are an end-time message believer, not because you believe on the prophet of this age, not because you believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, not because you believe in the Word of God as the absolute. That is not the reason why you worship the Father. You worship what you know not. We know what we worship as a Jew, for salvation is of the Jew. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the sons of God. But the hour comes, and now is, that the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And the woman said unto him, "Oh, I know Messiah will come, which is called Christ. When he come, he will tell us all things." I can perceive you're telling me some things right now, but it seems that I've heard that the truth shall set us free. It seems that I've heard that he said, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Does this seem like what I'm hearing is the truth? I can perceive that Messiah will come, same Christ. When he comes, it seems I will be free somehow, right? And Jesus said unto her, "I that speak unto you, I am that truth. I am that way. I am that life. I am the anointing. I am the clay that was anointed over your eyes that you can see." And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he spake to the woman. Of all people to receive God, to receive Christ, why is it you? The angels came and said, "What is man that thou art mindful of him? What is man that you really care about him?" The angels came and said, "Wow, why is God so particular about men?" They marveled that Jesus was speaking to the woman, to the church. They marveled. Why is it that you're looking for a church? And the woman then left her water pot. She left that water which she felt that would satisfy her. She left that religion. She left all of those things behind. She left all the things she felt is the source of her satisfaction. She left those and she went into the city. And she said unto the man of the city, "Come and see. Come see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" And they went out of the city and came unto him. She became a witness. Now let's go back to that blind man in the book of John chapter 9. The same blind man that is myself that I was talking about yesterday. Let's go back to him and kind of see his experience. Because you were blind. That woman of Samaria was blind. Paul was blind. And in both cases, after their eyesight was given to them, after Christ gave them their eyesight, the first thing they do was to be a witness. Because Jesus commanded, after that the power had come upon you through the Holy Ghost, you shall be witnesses unto me. Let's look at this man. We stopped at verse 14 yesterday. We'll read from verse 15. I think we stopped at verse 15. Then again the Pharisee also asked him how that he received the sight. He said unto them, he put clay upon my eyes, and I washed, and I was baptized, and I can see. He therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God. Now, that is our challenge. Once we believe, once it seems that we can see, the challenges would arise. You all can look back into your life and try to calculate, try to see how many people challenged you when you took this first step of faith. How many told you that what you are seeing is not what you are seeing? You think you are seeing a tree. I can tell you this is not a tree. This is a snake. Oh, the religion of the snake, the serpent. Oh, they would convince you and tell you all sorts of things. The Pharisee said unto him, this man is not of God. No. Is it not Abraham? I have read about him. You know, you believe him. I read about him in the book of God's general. He is not of God. I can assure you of that. They wrote about him in the book of God's general. He is not of God. He is not of God because he kept not the Sabbath. He did not stay with his message. He was supposed to be a healer. He was supposed to be the healing ministry. He did not stay there. He did not keep the Sabbath. No. He is not of God. Others says, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracle? Yes, that's what others said. How can a man who is not of God do such level of miracles that God did to Brother Abraham? How can a man that is not of God was called to pull us out, to call us out of the church, to raise a people for God in this end time? How can that happen? And there was a division among them. Yes, that speaks of our dilemma. We felt divided in our spirit. We were baptized, we felt we could see, but the very first year was a rough time. There were a lot of challenges, people challenging our faith. Even it came to the point, we'll read, our parents also challenged us. What do you think you believe? We've been an haggling kind all our life. What makes you think you are a better Christian than I am? And they said unto the blind man again, okay, what do you think of Abraham? Or what do you think of Christ? What do you think of him that opens your eyes? What do you think of him that God used to open your eyes? What do you think of that evangelist? What do you think of that pastor? What do you think of this book that you are reading, of this message book you're reading? What do you think of this Bible that you are reading? What do you think of him? He said, he is a prophet. Amen. He is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he was born blind. You see, they even come to doubt what they had already and consistently knew in the past. And received the sight, until they called the parents of him that had received the sight. And they asked them, saying, is this your son, who you say was born blind? How did he now see? Challenging the parent, so that the parent would say, yes, he was born blind. Or no, he was not born blind. How did he now see? And his parent answered them and said, we know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now see it, who has called him out of darkness into the marvelous light of God, we do not know. We do not know. Or who has opened his eyes that he could not see? He's speaking deep things. He's telling us deep things, even things that we cannot see. We don't know who has opened his eyes to that level. But you know, he is of age. You know, he's mature. Just ask him yourself. Ask him. Let him speak for himself. These words spake the parents, because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Let them put you out of their midst, out of their work, out of their activities, out of their friendship group. Let them put you out of their union. Let them put you out of anything. You were blind. I was blind. Now I see. I have to be a witness. Therefore said his parent, he is of age. Ask him. Then again called the man, the third time. Hey, they're not yet convinced. They're looking for someone to hold responsible for this. That's how the devil is looking. The devil is looking for someone to hold responsible for every single time a child of God is set free. He is hungry. He's looking for someone to hold responsible for that. Then he called him the third time and said, give God the praise. You know, just give God the praise. You know, it doesn't matter either you're an Anglican or a Baptist or a Methodist or a Redeemed or a Winners or this or that. It doesn't matter. You don't have to say you believe in the prophet of the last age. You don't have to say you know, you don't have to trust the Bible even. Just give God the praise. Just be like us. Be like every one of us. Just mix up with us. Let's form a union. We are all Christians. We all belong to the Ecumenical Council of Churches. We all belong to the World Council of Churches. We're all one. We are one. Oh, we are one body of Christ. That is all we sing. Just give God the praise. Amen. We know that this man is a sinner. We know that this prophet you believe in is a sinner. We know that this pastor you're talking about, he doesn't agree with our doctrine. You just follow God. Don't talk to the pastor. Even if God has wrought your wonder through the pastor, put the pastor aside. Put God aside. Put Jesus aside. Oh, you said Trinity. Don't worry. It's Trinity. That Trinity or unity or dubity, anything or funity, just give God the praise. Make a mess of what God has given you. Your high sight is through Christ Jesus. And Christ Jesus is the Son of the living God. And he answered and said, whether he be a sinner or not, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Now that man has become a witness. No one can stop him. You have become a witness. No one can stop you. Then said they unto him again, what did he do to you? How open did thine eyes? And he answered, I have told you already. You did not hear me. Why would you want to hear it again? Will you also be his disciples? Why you keep on asking me? Do you also want to be his disciple? We know that God speak unto Moses. As for this fellow, verse 28, and they reviled him and said, thou art his disciples, we are Moses' disciple. We know God speaks unto Moses. But as for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. And that man became a preacher. The man answered and said unto them, why hearing is a marvelous thing, that you know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened my eyes. That man who was blind became a teacher of the gospel. He became a teacher of the Pharisees. He became even more mature than the Pharisee, because they're all blind, but he could see. The man answered and said unto them, wherein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened my eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, him he will hear. Since the word began, that man became a believer. I love this man. Since the word began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? It has never been heard. Moses tried it through the law. It never happened. Elijah tried it through the showdown. It did not happen. A lot of people came before Jesus. It did not happen. It only happened that one that was born blind, you and I, that was born blind, we had our eyesight. It only happened once, and that was through Jesus Christ. Since the word began, there was never an occurrence of such. And if this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, thou was altogether born in sin, and you now teach us? They revile him, and they cast him out. And Jesus heard that they had casted him out. And when he found him, he said unto him, for thou believe on the Son of God, we would be an outcast, an oddball. We must be a witness until we become a cast out. We must not stop witnessing of God if our witness draws the attention of the people that they draw us close to themselves. It means that witness is not truthful enough. Our witnesses must allow them, must push the darkness to cast us out. That is when Jesus will say, "Come unto me, you faithful servant." And he answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe on him?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee." Now, when we were born blind, and Jesus opened our eyes through the baptism of the Holy Ghost, through the water and the baptism of the Holy Ghost, what happens? He will reveal himself more closely to us. It is I that talk to you. He will speak to us mouth to mouth. He would talk to us face to face. We would then have a relationship with him. We would then be able to worship him. Because in verse 38, he said, and he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. Amen. Then Jesus said, "For judgment I am come into this world, that they which might see not might see, that you and I might be able to see, and that they which see might be made blind, those who claim to see, that they would remain blind." And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, "Are we blind also?" And Jesus said unto them, "If you were blind, if you know that you were blind, if you can perceive that you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, 'We see.' So therefore, your sin remaineth. Because you claim that you can see, there's no reason for me to put a clay upon your face and remove this scales upon you." Confession. Confession. The first step and the very first stage of our way to salvation started with our confession that, "Oh, behold, I am a sinner. Oh, behold, I am blind." And then Jesus came and he anointed us with eye salve, with that clay, and our eyes got opened and we were washed in the pool of Siloam. We were sent forth from there to be a witness, and we became a witness, and we became a witness, and we were casted out. And then we have a closer relationship with Christ Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Look at the life of Paul as well. Until those stages completed in his life, then he was able to have a closer relationship with God. Much more revelations were revealed to him afterwards. Be a witness, my brothers and my sisters. God bless you. Be a witness today. Have someone to speak of Christ to. Because it's because of you that Jesus wept, so that we were blind, that now we can be a witness. Amen and amen. Our Lord, we thank you. We bless your name. We truly want to speak about you to the whole world. If we have the opportunity, we want to go on the rooftop and speak about Christ. We ask, O Lord, that you give us the strength and the boldness not to be afraid, but to be a true witness of you, even this very day and the days of our life. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Amen. God bless you all. Shalom.